Thank you very much indeed. And I'll take this opportunity now. You've already stood up. Can all the team stand up again, please? Everyone who's been involved, if it's just been...
Friday night,
any time, please all stand up. I think quite a few have gone away. They've obviously collapsed after Friday night and run away because they're... Oh, yes, the people who spilled the scenery. John, and is Tony here? And
there's loads of them. Yeah. So many more who've done us.
Clive at the back there. Yeah, I mean, it's wonderful to me to see how many people in the church fellowship, the family, church family here, have been involved in Holiday Bible Club. It's amazing. It's been a wonderful effort. You've done such a good job. And we just want to say thank you. I want to say thank you. I thank the Lord for you. Because you've done a brilliant job. So thank you so much. I think the rest of us can give a big round of applause. And I think a particular word to Andy, who has put in so much hard work. I don't know when he last slept, but hopefully he can go and sleep now. Thank you. If you sleep during my talk, that's fine. I understand. Okay. He usually does, yeah. So we've been having the Bible on the beach this week. The Bible on the beach. That has been the theme. And I've been thinking, well, that's quite a good theme, really, because life is actually quite a lot like being on a beach in all sorts of ways. There is a lot. I love the beach. I love the beach. There's always lots to do on a beach. You can do all sorts of stuff, play games or climb on the rocks, go looking in the rock pools or bury your parents or whatever else you want to do. You can do all that. You have great fun. But, you know, not too far away from the beach is the sea. That's why it's the beach, isn't it? Because it's next to the sea. Now, the sea, again, the sea can be lots of fun. But the sea can also be quite a scary place, can't it? Is there anyone here who's ever been a bit afraid of the sea? I have. I've got a picture here of somebody 1 or 2 years ago. Do you recognise him? It's me. Yeah. I'd be about 5 there. That's on a beach somewhere in Cornwall. 19-something. And those trunks my mum made from an old pair of curtains. You can see, you'll still see where she's cut out the shape. No. But you know, actually, when I was 5, I didn't really like being on the beach because I didn't like the sea. And so you can see, you might just about make out the rocks behind. I used to stay up on the rocks and hide up on the rocks. I didn't like to get anywhere near the sea because I didn't like the sea because I thought the sea was scary. And you know, that's a bit like life because life can be very unpredictable. All sorts of things can happen in life that frighten us. Just like the sea can change, waves can start coming in, or there can be a storm and all that. In life, we can get caught up in storms, can't we? Things get difficult. Things make life difficult. Sometimes people aren't nice to us as we'd want them to be. Sometimes bad things just happen to us. And so although it's like we're playing on the beach and life can be wonderful, at the same time, we're in that area where things can always start to go a bit wrong sometimes. Well, earlier in the week, you heard a story about Jesus in a storm. You heard a story about Jesus walking on the water. So we're going to hear another story about another storm this time. You may know it all very well, but we're going to look at it again with a little difference because we're going to make it happen here and now. So let's have some... Can I have my helpers, please? Elizabeth, Andy, could we put some chairs up? Because let's have the first... Can we have the first verse? Thank you. Let's have... This out of the way. Oops. Not down here. That day when evening came... That's right, that's just a bit further. That day when evening came... Are there another 3 chairs? If you've got a chair near you, could you bring it up and put it here? That'd be brilliant. That day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go to the other side of the lake." So they've got to go to the other side of the lake. That's excellent, thank you. And so, yeah, you can come and put this one up, Callum. That's great. Well done. Strong boy. Excellent. So we need a boat. It's got to go across the other side. Here's a boat. I've kind of made a boat with the chairs, but just so that you get the idea. There, there's the boat, okay? How's that looking? Good boat? Would you trust it to get you across the other side? Maybe not. Right, I just need a bit of space back here. Just need to move down a bit, I think. Some disciples and Jesus. Who would like to be Jesus and the disciples? Come on. Yeah, come on then, Josh. Who else? Yes, come on, Harry. Yes, Abigail. Yes. A few more. Yes, Harry. Adam, you coming too? Yeah. Anybody else? Megan, yes. Come on then, Megan. You coming, Callum? You coming? Yes, you too? Okay, right. You're going to be Jesus. Is that all right? Excellent. Right, so let's get in the boat. So we can't really all get in there, so let's get in this end, okay? If you all get at the back end of the boat there. Okay, so this is Jesus and his 12 disciples. You right there, Josh? You have to get up here and sit there. That's right. We really need another seat for... Oh, come on, Megan. We need another seat for Jesus, because he has to go to sleep.
Sorry.
Right. Okay, Josh, you sit there. Megan, can you get in there and I'll get another seat for...
Should we all move on?
It's a quite luxurious boat, isn't it, with all these seats? So, they decide. Let's see what happened next. Hold on, we need... Leaving the crowd behind, they took Jesus along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. We won't make the other boats, but they were here. Okay. Now, it was a nice day at this time, so let's have... Dear, look, all my stuff is behind here now. Let's have... Can I have two people who want to hold the sea? There's somebody at the back there. Yes, James. And somebody else. Yes, Francesca, you've got the snorkel. You'll be ideal for the sea. Okay, so you've got to be the sea down here. One of you come this end. Right, you hold it there, and you come this end. And you hold it there. That's the sea there, you see. Got it? Right, it's nice and calm at the moment. We've got a nice blue sky. Who would like to hold the blue sky? Two people to hold the blue sky. Is that Ellen at the back there? And Abigail. Excellent. Okay, so you hold one end. If you hold it this end. Now, Ellen, can you go the other end? Oops. So many lighthouses over here. Never knew Galilee had so many, but there you go. Can you hold that up high? Because that's going to be the sky. We need somebody really tall in the middle, actually. Yeah, Daniel, yes. Could you go in the middle and hold the sky up for us, please? It's not much to ask. Okay, so, oh, just one more thing. Somebody else tall. Pete. Daniel, can you find the sun behind there, just behind you? That's it. Excellent, thank you. Pete, do you want to come and hold the sun? Pete's going to come and hold the sun. There we go. Your shirt is brighter. There we go. Okay, so they went across. There were also other boats with him. Okay, the next verse says this. A furious squall, a storm came up and the waves broke over the boat, so it was nearly swamped. Okay, what are you going to do with those waves? Yeah, really big waves. Bigger waves than that, they've got to go over the boat. And we better change the colour of the sky. Oh, dear. Sorry. can't get the colour of the sky. There's a. Oh, that's it. That one. Yeah. Thank you. Sun fell down. That's right. Yeah, the sun's gone in. It's got a bit dark now. Have you got that, Ellen? You might have to come in a bit, Abigail. There we go. Oh, that's right. It's gone dark. Got a terrible storm. It was nearly swamped. Okay, next verse. Jesus was in the stern sleeping. Josh, you have to be asleep. Can you go to sleep, Josh? Because Jesus is sleeping. That's right. And the disciples are very scared. Disciples, you have to be scared. Can you be scared? Yeah. And they woke him. Can you wake Josh? Fairly gently, that's good. Teacher, don't you care if we drown, they said. Next verse. And Jesus got up. Can you stand up, Josh? And rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, be still. So he told the wind off and he said, quiet, be still. So, Josh, you have to kind of go... Quiet. That's it. Okay, and then it goes back to normal. Isn't that amazing? The wind died down, and it was completely calm. So there was a storm, and it completely died down. Okay, and then the next verse. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still not have faith? And then the last verse. They were terrified. They were terrified before. Now they're terrified again. They ask each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. So can you kind of ask each other that question? Who is this? Who is this? Even the wind and waves obey him. That's the story. That's amazing. Thank you very much. You can leave your props and... you can go and sit down. That's wonderful. Did you notice that question at the end? Thank you very much. Who is this? Who is this man that the winds and waves obey him? And that story is in the Bible. It's in Mark chapter 4. And it's there for a reason. It's there to get us to think about that question. Who is this man? That's what it's prompting us to think about. Who is this man who can control the wind, tell the waves just to calm down, and that they will do it? Now, Jesus' disciples knew their Bibles very well. They didn't have the New Testament, the later bit. They only had the Old Testament. That was their Bible, and they knew it very well, and they would have known certain verses in the Old Testament. So let's read some verses from the Old Testament that clearly tell us something about this. If we can have the first one, Mark. This is a verse from the Psalms. These are all from the Psalms. This is talking about the Lord God. You rule over the surging sea. When its waves mount up, you still them. That's the first one. The second one. You answer us with awesome deeds. Just go down to the bit where it says, you form the mountains by your power, having armed yourself with strength, who stilled the roaring of the seas, the roaring of the waves, and the turmoil of the nations. So the Lord stilled the roaring of the seas. And one more from Psalm 107. These are people out in the sea in ships. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. Now, the disciples in the boat would have known those verses very well. They would have known that there is only one person who has power over creation like that. Only one person who can tell a storm to be quiet and it will be done. And that person is God. That person is God. So when they see Jesus doing what he did in the boat, then they know the answer to the question. If Jesus can do these things, then it must mean this man is Almighty God, who made everything. He's bigger than the mighty mountains. He's more powerful than the rolling oceans. He's more immense than the night sky. This man in the boat with them is God himself. Isn't that awesome? What an awesome thing. But what does that mean for us? Well, if Jesus is who he was then, then he's still the same today. And that means if Jesus is God, if Jesus is our creator, then we must listen to him, mustn't we? If he made us, he knows what we were made for. We must listen to him because we rely on him for everything. He's given us our very lives. He holds our lives in his hand, and we must listen to him. All creation does what Jesus says. What about you? Do you do what he says? Do you listen to him? It's a challenging question, isn't it? Do we respond to him? Do we love him and serve him with the whole of our lives? Or do we just use just a little bit here and there to serve him? You know, that's one reason why we should follow him, Jesus, because he is God. He made us. But then when we think of why he came, why did the man who made all of this come down to earth as a human being? Well, the Bible tells us very clearly, he came to die for us. That's why he came. He came to take the punishment for our sin, to bear its curse, so that we could have eternal life with him. So that the boat of the human race is sinking because of our sin. We've made holes in the boat and it's sinking. But Jesus comes and he rescues the human race, all who put their trust in him. And that's why he came. He's God. He didn't need to come, but he did come. And why did he come? Because he loves us. There's a song we sing sometimes, and it's one of my favorites, and it goes like this. He made the stars to shine. He made the mountains high. He made the rolling seas, and he made me. And this is why I love him. For me, he bled and died. The Lord of all creation became the crucified. And you know, that's amazing. That is amazing, whatever age we are. We've had Holiday Bible Club this week, and that's been aimed at children from 5, 3, 4, 5. What's the youngest? 4. Up to 11. And if you're an adult and you've come along with your child today, it's lovely to have you with us. Thanks so much for coming. But you know, it would be easy for adults to look at Holiday Bible Club and think, oh, that's great. The kids are having so much fun. It's great. We have a few hours to ourselves in the morning too, and that's not a bad thing, though we miss them, of course. But you know, it's great. They're having fun. They're singing the songs. They're learning the memory verse. That's great. But it would be very, very easy to conclude that Jesus Christ is just for kids. That would be a very big mistake, because Jesus is the Lord of all creation. He made you, and he is for you as much as he is for your child. He wants you to know his love just as much as he wants your child to know that too. So please don't make the mistake of thinking, just because we've been having a lot of fun here, that this is just for kids. We should worship him. We should follow him. We should serve him with all our lives. We should turn to him and listen to him, because he can be trusted with our lives. He knows how our lives were made. He knows how best we can live them. I just want to close by just saying something about his disciples. What about those disciples? You know, they'd started to follow him. That's why they were in the boat. And they might have been tempted to think, well, following Jesus is great. Life is fine. When you follow Jesus, it all goes smoothly. But then they get into the boat, and what happens? A storm happens. They follow Jesus, and they end up in the middle of a horrible, horrible storm. These are people who knew the Sea of Galilee. They must have been involved in lots of storms, but they were scared. This must have been a really bad storm. And so that's interesting, isn't it? Because sometimes people who follow Jesus think, well, I put my trust in Jesus, everything's going to go okay from now on in. But you know what? It doesn't happen like that. We find ourselves in storms too. We find all sorts of things happening in our lives. And sometimes it seems even that the storms are worse because we're followers of Jesus, not better. But the amazing thing is that even though they were in the storm, they were with someone who could control the storm. That was what is important, wasn't it? They were with Jesus who can control the storm. And that's the thing about being a follower of Jesus. We still have storms in our lives that we can't control. But when we're following Jesus, we're with someone who can control the storms. And that makes a huge difference. And you know the other thing? if everything had remained calm and wonderful and lovely on that boat and they'd just tootled along to the other side, they'd have got out, and how would their picture of Jesus be changed? It wouldn't have been, would it? What happened in the storm? They saw who Jesus really was in the storm. And that's what it's like for us too. Sometimes it's only in the storms of life that we see who Jesus really is. And it's only in the storms of life that other people can see who Jesus really is too. They look at us going through difficult times, and they see something of the person who is with us, Jesus. And I hope that's an encouragement. If you are going through a storm at the moment, this is an opportunity for you to get to know Jesus better. A chance to see something of Jesus' power at work that you couldn't have seen in the calm times. That's an amazing thing. You know, the most amazing, if you're a follower of Jesus, the most amazing person, the most powerful person in the universe is in the boat with you. The disciples woke Jesus up. Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Well, of course Jesus cared. But he was in control, even while he was asleep. You know what the sad thing is? Many, many people are drowning in the stormy chaos of life, and they never call out to Jesus to rescue them. That's tragic. Because he's just there waiting to be called on. So don't let the chaos and the storm, first of all, recognize that without Jesus, you can't be saved from the chaos and the storm. And then recognize that Jesus is just waiting there in the boat for you to call to him. Have you called out to Jesus to save you? It's a wonderful verse you've been learning this week. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. That doesn't mean he will make your paths go around the storms of life. But he will be with you, guiding you in the storms, when your trust is in him. That's my challenge to you. Are you trusting in him? Are you acknowledging that Jesus is God, no less? And he wants you to wake up to who he is and to devote your life to following him. And that's the best way to live. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this storm. It must have been really frightening for the disciples, but in that storm they saw something of Jesus that took their breath away. And Father, I want to pray for all of us here, whatever our understanding of Jesus, that you will show us more of him. Show us his power. Show us his majesty. Show us his love, his compassion, his mercy. And help us, Lord, give us the faith so that we can put our trust in him and follow him all our days. Amen.